There's three readings tonight from Matthew 17:20, Mark 6:30-44, and then Genesis 1:26-28. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And then Mark 6, verses 30-44. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take almost a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus told them to make all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we just pray? But before we do, I know Steve said put your hand on your heart. And there's something about this evening where I think God's doing stuff in our hearts. And I just wondered if while we pray, you just put your hand on your heart. It's like the sort of tender part of your body, isn't it? It's the tender place of your soul. And it's the place that often God does stuff. And I've just got a feeling he's got something to say to us. Father God, we're vulnerable people. We may be made in your image, but some of us are a little bit broken. Some of us are a little bit dinted. Some of us find it difficult to hope. Would you come and meet us where we are so that our hearts aren't hard, but have compassion like you had? And continue to have for each one of us and for our broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so excited to be here today. I cannot tell you. I'm a bit like Tigger definitely not an Eeyore. And I have this feeling, as a result of listening to something on the radio this morning, I heard Justin Welby speaking, and there was something that he said that just caught me, and I had a sense that lives are going to be saved as a result of today and what St. Charles chooses to do. So I didn't know if you knew that you're going to be doing some life-saving. Had you realised that when you came here this afternoon? No, probably not. So get ready. I'm a Tearfond speaker, but also my home originally when I came to Northampton was St. Giles. I was welcomed by you, and my husband was the curate here. And from here, we went and did a church plant at Grange Park, and we are eternally grateful. And we saw the kingdom come there too, as well as here. I became a Tearfond speaker as a result of a Tearfond visit to Uganda a few years ago. I was invited by a friend who worked for Tearfond and told me she'd seen miracles, lives transformed, Jesus at work. Now, I'm here to try and encourage you to see what this process looks like and to hear a few stories, and by the end, to see ways in which you might be involved. You see, I wonder what God thinks about the world he created. It's in such a state, isn't it? Something is really wrong. An eighth of our population will go hungry today. I was talking this morning in Nigeria, it's even worse. It's even worse. 180 million people, half of them live in the poverty line of under $2 a day. 3 million will die from malnutrition in 1 year. I wonder what God thinks about children missing school because they have to spend 3 or 4 hours just to get to the nearest water source. I wonder what God thinks. And it's into these environments that Tearfond chooses to focus. Now, from a theological point of view, I knew from the scriptures when my friend told me that I could perhaps go to Uganda and see God at work, that God sides with the poorest of the poor. I'd read it in my Bible. I knew that God had a bias for the poor, but I had never really seen it. I mean, in the Bible, there are constant calls, aren't they? God calls people to remember that they were once enslaved in the land of Egypt. Therefore, remembering their situation, where they came from, they were to have a bias for people who were enslaved, to care for the weak, care for the poor, care for the widows, care for the defenseless. There are even laws where you just cancel whole debts. After 7 years, people who can't pay stuff back. It's like God saying, I was generous to you, now you be generous. One of the readings we could have had tonight, but we didn't, was that famous story where God provides for a widow in 1 Kings 17 in Zarephath. She's got nothing, and she's asked out of the very little of what she has to trust a man of God to use what she has to make some bread. And then really weirdly, flower jars get filled up. There are lots of little stories like that in the Old Testament where God sides with hungry, starving people. And of course, our Jesus, he's known for his compassion, isn't he? He's just got this edge to him, where he keeps going to the voiceless, like the little children. No, don't spend your time with the little children. They're not important. No, Jesus is there. Don't touch that leper. No, Jesus is there. No, that boy is dead. Jesus touches the coffin and up the boy sits. He challenges us to feed the hungry, doesn't he? He actually even suggests that if we're not feeding the hungry, we're not going to be with him in eternity. But you know what? I'd never actually seen Jesus doing that up close. I mean, I'd read it, but not really. I'd never seen a dead boy come back to life. I'd never seen 5,000 fed. I mean, have you seen 5,000 fed? I hadn't seen someone touch a leper and for them to be healed. So when she told me that I could go on this trip and I would witness that, I thought, too good to be true. I'm middle class for a start. I'm not very good with, I suppose, not being clean and having all my comforts about me. And part of me just didn't want to look. I mean, it's a huge problem. I'm just me. What can I do? I had this feeling inside I just wouldn't cope. I was really worried that every time I saw anything sad, I'd be the one woman on the trip who was bursting into tears, going, oh, this is terrible. I just didn't want to be so embarrassed. But I'm so glad I went. If we could have the second slide up. That's my Peter. We arrived in Uganda and I went with my son Peter and a whole group of people like me who are going to see, apparently, this miraculous work. We really didn't know what we were going to go and see. And we were picked up in a van, driven from the airport, arrived in what was called a hotel. I mean, when I say hotel, it's not a hotel like you think a hotel is. And for our first night, we ate something that was fishy. And my son, Peter, went down with the most awful tonsillitis. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm already out of control. I've eaten something fishy and my son's now really sick. I've got to now eat something fishy for 10 days. I'm not going to cope. You see, I'm a really bad traveller. But there are some really cool things about Uganda. If we could have the next slide. Ha! There are indeed elephants that just cross the road. Not everywhere, but there are. And we saw elephants, we saw monkeys, we saw all those beautiful, amazing creatures that David Attenborough says live over there. Could we have the next slide? And throughout the country, wherever we travelled, we sort of saw that. Very green land. I was quite shocked. It was May time when we went. I had the impression, because I'd watched a lot of David Attenborough, that it would all be savannah. But actually, it was very green with a lot of water. And there were lots of these huts, very basic huts. And an amazing thing happened that I only just remembered just now that I thought I should include. When we visited some of the people who lived in these incredibly difficult circumstances, they would share what they had with us. So if they had some mangoes, they would share mangoes with us. I mean, it might be the only food that they had. It was all that they would have in their cupboard, except they didn't have cupboards. Before they did that, a child would come up with a bowl of water and a soap bar. And they would come and just wash our hands for us. It was the most uncomfortable but beautiful thing. Incredible. And it was something that kind of stuck with me and has made me think since. If anybody comes to my door and I think I can't invite them in because the house is dirty, what rubbish. I mean, are you like that? Are you a bit like that? You know, like I can only have people around when I'm ready and I've got the right biscuits. No. Sorry, I'm just talking to my middle classness. Obviously, you're not in my category of who I am. Another thing you would see is in the next slide. Wherever we went, children. Oh, my goodness. They were so excited to see us and just had time for us, often because they weren't in education. You have to pay for education there. There's not education on tap. So wherever we went, there were children who would be entertained by our ridiculous skin, particularly my hair colour and my inability to communicate, and they would try out, wait for this, despite them not having education, their English on me. I can't tell you how out of my comfort zone I felt, and yet curiously intrigued, really wondering why on earth I had come to this country. I had nothing to offer. We weren't going to go and build any hospitals. We weren't going to go and make our consciences feel good by building a school. We were just arriving to see what Tear Fund did. And we were told we would just hear lots of stories. The first village we went to was the one before. I don't suppose we could go back one slide. It's called Ongongara. And it was a place of the most devastating poverty you can imagine. The meeting place was not a community centre, it was a tree. There was no clean water. Totally inadequate food. Complete bigotry on a scale that was shocking. I'm not being anti-men, but I felt very anti-men in that place. Women who were beaten, kept under control. Men who would go off to places to drink because life was so awful. And the women just had to carry everything. And then when the men came home, they would have to bath them. It was the most uncomfortable thing to hear. There was a complete lack of education. Disease was rampant. And in one of those huts, we went to one of those huts, and we met a lady called Teresa. And this is a place where Tear Fund has not arrived. Her husband had died in some civil fighting, and she was left with three children who she could not look after. There's no network to help someone who's in that situation. She had to make ends meet. She had no way of feeding them. So what she thought could happen was if she could just get a husband, then perhaps he would help her make ends meet. So the men from the village would visit her one at a time. You can imagine what happened. Because what happened was 9 months later, she'd be pregnant and the baby would be born. All along the side of her hut were little children who were just sitting in the foulest of situations with no hope. There was nothing really that could be done. I look back at that time and I had nothing. I'm a Christian. I had nothing. So what's the answer? What's the answer? There must be an answer. Surely there's an answer. Turn to the person next to you and tell them what you think the answer might be. I suspect the kind of is probably how I felt. Like, somehow I think we know that a Western handout is not going to sort that. Even going and building a school isn't really going to sort anything out. Building a hospital might do something, but it feels vast, doesn't it? It feels big. Well, the good news was, after visiting Awaliwal, we were taken to another place. After Ongoro, we were taken to Awaliwal, another place. And this is one of the ladies that we met, and I'm going to tell you about her in a minute. But one of the things that Tear Fund does is it partners with churches, because local churches often have a kind of honesty and moral integrity that means that how they do things is going to be done well. Not everywhere, but on the whole a bit better than other places. And Tear Fund goes to those churches to help the people in those churches to find spiritual and physical solutions to the things that I've been talking about that was the case for Teresa. How do they do that? How do they do something like that for someone like Anne, who is dying? She has HIV, she's a widow, she's unable to provide for her children. Her children have no education, they live in abject poverty. There is nothing to hold her. Well, let me tell you the backstory. You see, Anne wasn't part of the church, but the church had been quite busy working with Tear Fund. I shared with you, I think last time I came, the story of Stephen, an orange farmer whose whole life was transformed. And there are so many people living in the church whose lives have been transformed. And what had happened was this. Tirfund had gone to Uganda, spoken to the national church, trained up people in the ways that might be able to help. Those people who understand the culture of Uganda would then go to these local churches and start speaking from the scriptures. So Genesis 1, that scripture that we had this morning and this afternoon, about God creating people in his own image, male and female in his own image, he made them. They start to talk about that with the church. Now, I was saying this morning over and over and over again, I heard Ugandans saying, I suddenly realized I was not born to be a beggar. I was born made in the image of God. I was born actually to shape this world. I was born to be creative. I was born to subdue this world. And on top of that, as they think about the male and female thing, they're taught there is no difference. Male and female work best like this. Not like that. Not like that. But like this. So the church started to learn to work, husbands and wives, wives and husbands, girls and boys. There is a solution. Then they would be taught something else that really changed their hearts. And it was this. It was from the reading from Mark 6. Basically, it's this. A small picnic can feed 5,000 people. That's the teaching. And then the people are taught, so what have you got in your hand that could feed your family? So people have got all sorts of things. Maybe a chicken, a goat, a bit of land, a water source near them. The church starts testing this out. And they find that it works. And Tirfund helps them to find agricultural processes that are going to work better and better and better. So the church starts to get fed because it works. If you plant one seed and fertilize it well, guess what? You might get 70 or 80. You might only have had 3 bags of maize one season, but if you follow this through, you might get 15 next season. The church starts to look so well that the people in the community want to know what's going on. I mean, Jesus is saving lives. It gets out there. They're looking healthy. The church, because it is so healthy, it pours a little bit of everything that it makes back into a fund. And out of that fund, they make different decisions. Which to look at is, what's going on in your community? What does God want you to do? What have you got in your hand? How could you affect that change? So this church in Iwalawao, they did a survey and they found that there was a real problem. And the problem was this, HIV. It was just everywhere. I think they had 175 people who had HIV. They wondered what they had in their hands. Now, they didn't have a hospital. And they certainly didn't have any doctors. But what they did find out was that if they got people tested, the amazing thing that would happen is that the government would give free antiviral drugs to anybody who was tested positive. So wait for this. The minister in the church said, okay, I know what we'll do. We will make it an honourable thing for people to go and be tested for HIV. An honourable thing, a thing that we would say has dignity. And anybody who comes back with HIV, who comes back as HIV positive, we will honour them. Because by doing that, we will know who has HIV and we can do something about this. In effect, By them saying what their status is, they will be part of our way of being able to rescue our community. Who do they sound like? Jesus. You lay your life down for another. So I had this really, really funny experience where I was traveling in the back of a Jeep in the middle of somewhere in Uganda. I have no idea where I was. And I was sitting very crunched up, and there was just like nothing all around us apart from sort of jungle. And the minister was in the back of the Jeep with me. And all of a sudden we stopped, and he pulls up this guy onto the Jeep and he goes, "This is Stephen. He has HIV. Hallelujah!" And I'm thinking, what? Because I hadn't heard the story at that point. But basically, no shame was associated with HIV. How different is that from our country? So Anne went to get tested, and she found out she had HIV, and she was given the antiviral drugs. And the antiviral drugs worked very well with her, and she became stronger quite quickly. The church then taught her, guess what? You weren't born to be a beggar, Anne. You were born in the image of God to be fruitful. Did you know, Anne, that male and female work together? And Anne, did you know that Jesus once took a packed lunch and fed 5,000? What have you got in your hand, Anne? She had a goat and 3 children. She told us, as we were sitting in the hut, I borrowed a male goat, we got twins. If you were in Africa now, you'd go hallelujah at that point, okay? Then she bred the goat again, triplets. You can say hallelujah this time. Hallelujah. And then she said, I became a Christian. It saved her life. He had saved her life. I don't mean just her spiritual life. He had saved her life. Because from that, she could then have beehives because she had a little bit of nourishment in her and she was getting milk. She got some poultry and she has chickens. She had enough money then to feed her children. And they're all educated. And this is what she said. I was preparing to die, but now I am prepared for life. You can say hallelujah if you want. Oh, Anglicans. Tearfund encourages churches overseas like Anne's to tithe part of their proceeds from their produce to use centrally to then work out how they can use them to help their community. So new initiatives are set up. Whole market economies start up. Loans are there. Training. One of the things that we found really amazing about this community is that they did something that would have saved Teresa's life. They decided to equip all the widows with a cow because they said, you could have something in your hand then. You could have a cow. So from their central funds, they were bought by widows, cows, orphans. They bought goats. So what was lovely is that you see children who are learning from a very early age, what have I got in my hand? I am not born to be a beggar. Anne went on to consider how she could use this newfound wealth. How could she serve her community? She thought, what have I got in my hands? Got HIV. She became the HIV counsellor for that community. That's what she did. At the end of her story, it was just gobsmacking. I can't tell you, it was just amazing. And I really wanted to do something. So I said, can we pray for you? And as she'd been speaking like this, I'll just have to show you. I didn't realise how tall she was. So she stood up, she sort of unfolded, and there wasn't any fat on her. She was just about 6 foot and the most beautiful woman you could imagine. And so I did what I had been taught, which was you pray, come Holy Spirit. Because I suddenly realized I was in this place where I was standing next to someone who's so much greater than I was. And I thought, if I pray, come Holy Spirit, she's going to explode. Because she's already so full of the Holy Spirit. She should be praying for me. I think my prayer was like, amen. I hope God could interpret it. I mean, she had no idea of how amazing she was, but she changed my life forever. Because many a time I've come back home and I've thought I'm rubbish, I have nothing to offer. Who am I? What am I? And I remember her. What have I got in my hand? The reason I'm a Tearfund speaker is I came back and I thought, what am I going to do? And my friend Nad said, you're a communicator, Charlotte. What do you think you should do? Answer me today. You can tell me whether I'm any good later. So I'm here really today to tell you that the partnership that Tearfund has with churches is utterly transformational. It saves people's lives. Not just individually, whole families, whole communities. The church is the hero in this. Imagine if you were known in Northampton for being the hero. It's how it should be, actually. For my heart to remain soft, I feel that I need to stay connected with the poorest of the poor. Because sometimes I think I'm the only way that people live. And what Anne really challenged me with is actually that's not the case. Most people live like Anne. So I decided I would partner with Tearfund a long time ago. I actually started when I was a teenager. And I'm so glad I did. They've got 50 years of experience of this. I don't know if you know, but in the last financial year, they fed 1 million people, Tearfund did, in just emergency money. 1 million people. You can say hallelujah if you want. Yeah, thank you. Thank you! 3.8 million people in the last financial year were caught up in long-term development stuff with Tearfund. Remarkable. What about us? What can we do? Well, I think that there are various things. Anne wanted us to pray for her. So if we could have the last slide. One thing we can do is pray. And I would like us just to pray now because we might go home and not do that. And it was the one thing that she asked. So I think we could all do that. Let's connect with this work right now and ask for the Holy Spirit to do something amazing for Anne. Father God, please protect Anne. Please heal her of AIDS. Bless her family. Please continue to give them food. Please continue to educate her children. We pray her children will eat well and that her home would be safe. We pray you resource Anne for times that are difficult. Thank you, Lord, for her and the example she is of fortitude and faith, putting your word into action. Amen. Another way, which I've been talking to Steve about, is really a little bit of what I've shared with you. It might be possible for you to go and see a project like this. It will change you forever. It's changed me, and I'm a hard-hearted thing at times. You're much more soft-hearted, I think, than I am. But for that to happen, probably you need to get to know a community overseas. So one of the things that we could do as a church here is thinking about how we could connect with a Tearfund choice place where you could pray for them, you would give some financial resource to equip them for those who need to be trained to be there, you would get resources so that you would know what was going on there, and there would be a partnership that went on. You would get to know some of the people in the village. And as I said, another thing that you could do is go. A lot of you are quite young here. Might I suggest if you go when you're young, you're far more likely to learn than someone as old as I am. I mean, really. When you get to my age, it's funny, it's much more difficult to learn. If there was a way that the young people from here could go, you will find it transformational. And it won't be a one-way thing. It won't be about you just going there and giving something there. You will come back and you will be changed, and you can then share that here. It will change you forever. I would say long-term engagement is just so important, because it stops us from being paralyzed into thinking we can't do anything. It really says to us, you can do something. This initiative, it's called Connected Church, and I think Steve is going to be talking some more about that with St. Giles. It would be wonderful if there was someone maybe from this evening congregation who would be interested in championing this cause and doing a little bit of research and working with Tear Fund, so that they can keep, as it were, the drum rolling on we need to stay with the poorest of the poor. Another way that you could do things, you'll see that on your seats there are some little leaflets. If you want to give regularly, that's another way that you can do it. That's what I do as a way of keeping my heart soft and keeping my heart just focused towards him. I'd like to just finish now. I'd just ask you again just to put your hand on your heart and just ask God what he's saying to you. Let's just be quiet. Jesus, we all have something in our hands to give, something to share. Help us, Lord, to know what to do with this talk, not to feel guilty, not to feel shamed in any way, but rather just to hear your voice over what you would like us to do as a church amongst the poorest of the poor. In Jesus' name. Amen.